Okay, morning everyone. Today's daf in Ksuvah's daf days. That means that we're beginning the Masechta. Thank the Lubin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf of Belong Zecher Nishmas, Liba Gabriela Bashmuel. There are two stages to marriage. I know I've said that statement a lot. Recently we've been Seder Nashim, just gone through 122 Blad Viramas in our introduction to Seder Nashim. There's a second Masechta that we're doing in Seder Nashim. There are seven Masechtas in total. So there are two stages of marriage. The way the Torah constructs marriage is that stage one is a period of what's called Kedushin. Engagement is a very poor translation of Kedushin. It's not an engagement. It's much more than an engagement. Kedushin actually means that you're married. The word Kedushin means that now you and her are imbued with a sense of sanctity. But more than that, when you make something kadosh, when you declare something to have kedusha, it's usur. It means that it's prohibited to anybody else in the terms of a karban. Once you declare an animal to be kadosh, that means that animal is usur. So when a man and a woman go through the stage of kedushin, so she's usur l'kol, she's prohibited to everybody. She's a married woman. She has relations with any other man. After that point, after the point of kedushin, so then she's committed adultery and with skila. So it's chenek. Okay, so kedushin creates a sense of, not a sense, much more than a sense, but an actual legal bond between him and her. However, that's only stage one of marriage. What's stage two of marriage? Stage two of marriage is nisuin, right? Nisuin is where they live together as husband and wife. We made this point already a number of times, but let's just say it again. How do you affect kedushin? So there, the Torah couldn't be any clearer. The first Mishnah in kedushin, which we'll see shortly enough. Actually, that's not true. Kedushin is the last Masechta in Seder Nashim. But we're going to see you in Masechta Kedushin, and we're going to see that there are three ways to be Mekadosh a woman. Kesef, Shtar, and Bia. As we learned recently in Yevamos, Bia was... the Chachamim didn't like that method of Kedushin. The Chachamim were very anti-Bia in terms of being Mekadosh a woman. But those are three ways to affect Kedushin, and they're very simple and very straightforward. How do you affect Nisuin? Totally unclear. The Torah never tells how Nisuin is affected. The Gemara itself also never really mentions how Nisuin is affected. There are many sheets amongst the Rishonim in terms of how Nisuin is affected. Okay, but that's Nisuin is the second stage of marriage. What's the difference between Kedushin and Nisuin? Meaning by Kedushin already she's a married woman. So what do we gain? What advantage is there by Nisuin? So they live together as husband and wife, and he has all the financial obligations of being a husband to her. Meaning that at the point of Kedushin they're married, but he has no financial obligation. They're not living together. They're not sleeping together. They're not living together. He has no financial obligations to her. When it comes to Nisuin, now at that point in time, so he now has all the Tanai Ksuva, all the conditions that are set forth in the Ksuva, which are his obligations to feed her and to support her and to give her a home and to have relations with her. All those obligations take place at the point of Nisuin. Yeah. I hear your question. I don't know how that's supposed to work. I mean, it doesn't sound like a healthy way to start a relationship. I understand. I hear your question. Could very well be that that's one of the reasons why the Chacham didn't like it. It could be. Okay, how long a period was separated the Kedushin and the Nisuin? So, once again, the Torah doesn't say. The Minug, in the times of the Mishnah and the Gemara, is 1 year. It was a 1 year separation between Kedushin and Nisuin. So that means that a man was Mekadosh a woman, and then they live separate from one another. Again, they're married, but in this very awkward first stage of marriage, they live separate from one another, and in the good old days, that used to occur for 1 year. In the 1 year anniversary, literally the 1 year anniversary from the point of Kedushin, so then he marries her. And the expectation is that he marries her. And as we're going to learn in today's daf, that expectation of marriage is so strong that he's going to be financially obligated to her even if the marriage doesn't occur, which is a big part of today's daf, which is what we're going to be discussing over the course of the day. I do not know when historically, but at one point historically, I'm imagining many years ago, sometime between the Gemara and now, but probably closer to the time of the Gemara than now, there is that gap between the Kiddushin and the Nisuin has shrunk. It shrunk now to the point where, how long is that gap between Kiddushin and Nisuin? The time it takes for the honored reader to read the Ksuva. So you get to a wedding now, and so what happens is he's Mekadesher. He hands her a ring and he says, Harei Mekadesh Esli, and he gives her a ring. So that now is a Kiddushin. We need a little bit of a break because we don't want to just jump from Kiddushin and Nisuin, so we take a little bit of a break. Hence, we read the Ksuva. All right, maybe unbeknownst to many, but the reading of the Ksuva serves no legal purpose at a wedding, other than it provides a tremendous kibbutz to somebody, so that somebody can get called up now and read the Ksuva, and it serves as a break, as a little separation now between the Kiddushin and then the Nisuin. And so nowadays, the Kiddushin and Nisuin are separated by maybe 15 minutes at a chasna. Why the year was shrunk down to 15 minutes, and when did that happen? So those are basic questions which I don't know the answer to, admittedly, from the beginning of the shir.
I think that during the Erusin, they were not allowed to have relations, and that's why they now...
The Arusa is rabbinically prohibited from having relations with her husband.
So that's why they did it, because with a year,
The Gemara in Pesachim happens to be that we're learning the 10th parak of Pesachim now. The beginning of the Gemara in Pesachim says that it's not the Gemara in Pesachim that says it. It's actually the Yerushalmi, but Tosfos quotes it. You're not lighting matzah on Erev Pesach, right? Everybody knows it's an issur d'rabbanan. It's a prohibition to eat matzah on Erev Pesach. You have a mitzvah to eat it that night. Now I understand when you get to in the afternoon Erev Pesach, you're not allowed to eat anything, which is not true. But that's a simple pshat in the Mishnah. But already on Erev Pesach, the entirety of Erev Pesach, and I know some have the minhag of 30 days, but on Erev Pesach, you're not allowed to eat matzah. The Yerushalmi says, right, the Tosfos quotes it over there in the beginning of the 10th parak, that eating matzah on Erev Pesach is just like having bia with your mikudeshes, your arusa, beveis chamav. And just like it's rabbinically prohibited to eat matzah on Erev Pesach, so too it's rabbinically prohibited to have bia with your arusa. So yeah, it's an issur d'rabbanan to do so. Okay, that is all just a framework, meaning everything I said up until now, by way of introduction, by way of framework, so that we have a basic understanding of what we're about to see inside. Okay, when exactly is a man and woman supposed to get married? Meaning a day of the week? So obviously, any day. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Meaning there's no limitation in terms of when you can get married and which day of the week you can get married. As we learned in Moed Katan, as long as it's not a yontif, okay, you can get married anytime you want. But what the Chachamim did is the Chachamim asserted themselves in the sense that the Chachamim gave a day to get married, a marriage day. And as we're going to learn, that day is going to be Wednesday. Okay, I'm just thinking out loud. Should probably keep this thought to myself, but maybe that's the etymology of the word Wednesday. Yeah. It's just a bad pun. One of the two. But Wednesday is the day of marriage. Now that's not absolute, as we're going to learn together in the Mishnah. Thursday is also a day of marriage, and as you probably recognize now, as you've lived enough years on this earth, any day is really a day for marriage. And nowadays we get married any day of the week, whichever we can cut ourselves the best deal from the catering hall. But as we're going to learn from the point of perspective of the Mishnah, Wednesday is the day that was instituted by the Chachamim as a day of getting married, and for reasons we're about to explain as we go through the Mishnah inside. Okay, that's all by way of introduction. Ksuvas is a long Masechta. Okay, it's you know how it works. I've mentioned this point before. In every Seder, there are six Adarim and Shas, and Daf Yomi, we only go through four of the six, which isn't so bad. All the bigger Masechtas are front-loaded in every Seder. Yeah, I made this point before. So that means that in the beginning of every Seder, you have all the larger Masechtas. Length, by the way, over here is defined by number of Prakim. So all the larger Masechtas are put up in the front, and the smaller and smallest Masechtas are put at the back of every Seder. It works for every Seder. I got this idea from Rabbi Kornfeld. He taught me this. It's absolutely true. Yeah, you don't... It's empirical. So we are now doing Ksuvas. The Rambam, by the way, with every Masechta from one jump to another, the Rambam gives an explanation why this Masechta follows this and why this Masechta follows that. In other words, he believes that there's a rhyme and reason in terms of why every Masechta follows the other. And I'm not dismissing the Rambam, obviously I'm not dismissing the Rambam, but just in terms of empirical data, you will take a look and you'll see all the large mesechtas are in the front and the small mesechtas are in the back. That's why Kiddushin's the last mesechta, Kiddushin only has four prakim.
Yeah, but the order seems to go back. You should start with Kiddushin and then maybe right. Yevum.
I understand. That's why what I offer to you is absolute, meaning it's just a question of how many prakim and the larger prakim go first. The Mishnah begins, Besula Nisis Liyam Revi'a Va'amana Liyam HaChemishi. A Besula gets married on a Wednesday and an Amana and a widow gets married on a Thursday. Okay, now Wednesday, Thursday, why did the Chachamim choose those days as the day to get married? So the Mishnah explains. The Mishnah realizes that's a strange halacha. And so the Mishnah goes on to explain. Shepamayim b'Shabbos batei dinin yoshim b'ayavros, because two times a week, Beis Din convenes in the cities. B'yam ha'sheni v'yam ha'chamishi, that's Monday and Thursday. And of course it's no coincidence that Monday and Thursday, that's when we say long tachanon. It's Yimei Din. It's days of judgment. And so therefore those days are reflected in our davening. Those days are also Ezra Sofer instituted that those days are also going to be the days that actual courts are going to convene. She'im ayalo tanis basilim, so that means as follows. So now, with every wedding comes joy, simcha, all the beauties of life, but also problems, potential problems. And so what may end up happening in the course of a newlywed couple is that he was under the assumption that she was a basula, and then after the first night of relations, he now is firmly of the belief that she wasn't a basula, that she did in fact have intimacy prior to the marriage and not with him, and so therefore it leads to tremendous suspicion, which we're about to articulate in just a moment, of what those suspicions may just actually be. This is what's called tainus basulim. He has a claim that his wife is not a basula. So, if he gets married on Wednesday, Hayamashkim LaBeistin, so that way next morning he can wake up and he can go right to Beistin because Beistin convenes on Thursday. Okay. The obvious question, which I'm sure everyone here is wondering, is so then if Wednesday is the day in which the Chachamim dictated that a marriage should take place so that you can get to Beistin the next day, so should Sunday. Sunday should be a great day for marriage in that Beistin convenes on Monday as well. The Gemara is going to ask that question. We're going to arrive at that question later on. Why does an Almana get married on Thursday? The Mishnah gives no explanation. Stay tuned later on. The Gemara, not today's daf, but later on, the Gemara is going to explain why the Chachamim selected Thursday as the day for the Almana. Let's discuss right now.
Obviously, isn't it obvious that all he claims really is the Kasuba, reduce the Kasuba, not the Tzemeka Tzua? Because otherwise, the Almana would be the same.
So,
right? I want to be
make right. In other words, the Chachamim were not worried about a claim against an Amana.
Yeah, like what claim we're going to claim?
Okay, so let's discuss right now what's behind Tanis Besulim? Meaning the man is claiming that his wife, he thought his wife was a virgin, and now it turns out that she's not. And later on we'll get into the more graphic details and the more delicate details of why he thought she was not. But right now, just say it very ambiguously, he thinks right now she's not, and so what? And what's the big deal? I mean, obviously it's a big deal, but what exactly, let's be more precise in terms of identifying what exactly is the problem with her not being a basula. So you take a look at Rashi over here. Rashi writes as follows. Rashi in the Mishnah, V'sheni V'chamishi, so Rashi first points out, Achaz me'ezra takana shetikin ezra b'babakama, b'perek meruba. So you go to the, I think it's the seventh parak of Baba Kama, and over there you'll find that Ezra Sofer instituted 10 takanas. One of them is that Beis Din convenes on Monday and Thursday. Fine. Mefarsh l'kula kach tiknu shetinas l'bervia, shim hayelotanis besulim yashlam Beis Din ba'od kaso alav. So therefore, if on Wednesday night when he has relations with her, it turns out that she is not a besula, at least in his opinion, so now he's going to be angry. And, now anger is a terrible thing, the Rambam writes, anger is one of those things which you should have none of it. No anger whatsoever. Nevertheless, here is one of those rare examples where the Chachamim want to take advantage of the person's anger. And therefore, v'im yeshas mitem yesh lachush, shem yispais v'titzkare dato, because if there's any lapse in between the point of discovery that his wife was not a basula, and when Beis Din convenes, so maybe he'll be appeased. And all this leads us to the following question. And so what? And so what? And let's say he is appeased. Why is that a big deal if he's appeased? So okay, let them have a marriage. Admittedly, the marriage got off to a poor start, but okay, let them remain married. So Rashi over here explains what the issue is. V'kaimenu v'shema hizinsa tachtav. Because there is a possibility. Look, right now he now is working with the assumption that she was not a basula, but now she's a ba'ula. When did that happen, and who did it happen with? obviously at this point it's speculation, but Rashi says, but consider the following. Let's say she had relations with another man during Kedushin. So that means that in the past year she had relations with another man. What does that make her? It makes her now Sota. Okay. And when I say Sota, let's not get confused. Sota, not, I'm not talking about the suffix Sota. I mean a woman who committed adultery. She was Mizana. And therefore she's prohibited to her husband. And that's an Isser. V'nesra alav ki yalfinan mivinistra v'hi nizma'a. And Rashi quotes the Gemara in Sota that says that a woman who commits adultery is forbidden to her husband. And so therefore there is a possibility that he believes right now that she is a ba'ula na basula. There is a possibility that she had relations with another man during Kedushin, which means that it's more than just a dysfunctional beginning of a marriage. It's that she's going to be prohibited to him. And so now, how's going to Basin going to help? Rashi goes on to explain. When we talk, she has a basin. He's bar hadavar because she ate that coal. And now it goes to Beis Din, and the matter is going to get clarified. Shem yavo edim, because maybe witnesses are going to come. Uvi Gemara, and then Rashi points out that the Gemara later on is going to ask, why not get married on Sunday? And you'll have the same benefit of Beis Din convening the next morning. Okay, that's Rashi's explanation. Let's think about Rashi just a little bit. Tosfos points out, Rashi's explanation is a little bit difficult to understand. Meaning, we're going to go through all this. Meaning, have all the women get married on Wednesday, so that in the event that she is a basula, in the event that he thought she was a basula and she turns out to be a ba'ula, they're going to go to Beis Din, so for purposes of discovery. And in terms of determining when exactly she had relations with another man, and whether or not she is in fact prohibited to her husband. What are the chances? Meaning, generally speaking, when we determine any type of halacha, when we establish any type of halacha, so we base ourselves on statistics. And are we talking about most of the time she was, meaning if she turned out to be a ba'ula, most of the time she actually had znus during the Kedushin? Meaning, let's use terminology the Gemara is going to use later on. What is this? Even if it's true that she is not a ba'ula and she is a ba'ula, which he firmly believes that that's so, for reasons which we'll describe later on why. Even if that's true, number one, could be that the relationship that she had with another man occurred before the Kedushin, not after the Kedushin. And I know we're moving backwards right now, but she lived many more years of her life as a non-Mikudeshes woman than as a Mikudeshes woman. And even if she had Bia during the period of Kedushin, if she was an Ones, let's say she was violated, and she didn't want to tell her husband, she's not prohibited to her husband, so the only way she will be prohibited to her husband is if A, she had the relations during Kedushin, not before Kedushin, and B, she had to do a Beratzon and not Ba'ones. Then and only then she's prohibited to her husband. So we're talking about, in halachic terminology, a Sfeik Sfeika. Mm-hmm. It's really a remote possibility, not a far remote possibility, but it is a remote possibility that she's going to be prohibited. So we're going to go through all this institution and legislation of the Chachamim, that a Basula is going to get married on Wednesday, only so that we can hopefully discover for the remote possibility that she was Mizana, that she had an adultery. That is Tosfos' point on Rashi. Tosfos says, I have a difficult time understanding Rashi based on what I just pointed out.
But the thing is that if she was Mizana, and then there's a Doraita provision for a husband to be with her.
Agreed.
So but even for that slight possibility, he needs to kind of clear the slate. To make sure
in halacha, if it's only a slight possibility, so that's what's called a Sfeik Sfeika. And even on an Issa Doraita, we're going to be Makel.
But the thing is that it turns out that the facts on the table are that she was not a betula, so something happened.
Right.
So he has to clarify. It's not that.
Okay, I do hear that point. Meaning that it wasn't his expectation, and that breach of expectation may be a trip. You know, in other words, may trip a wire. That something is in fact going on. So
what's the difference? So she has to pick a date. Don't pick Wednesday. What's the big deal? It's not a. Not like you know, so what? So I mean, she has to get married on one day of the week. So
the Gemara later on.
So the
Gemara later on will explain. So will point out it. Once the Chachamim set Wednesday as a day,
is so it only?
So you're going to see. We're going to see it in the Gemara today's daf. It becomes a big deal. Okay, so take a look at Tosfos. I'm not going to go through it right now. It's Tosfos Divrei Maskil Shema Yelo Tanis Pesulim. So Tosfos over here points out what I just pointed out, that Rashi, the way Rashi is explaining our Mishnah, it's really based on a remote possibility that she is prohibited to her husband. Why would the Chachamim legislate for a remote possibility? See Tosfos for a discussion of that point. Okay, let's go to the Gemara. Let's go right into the Gemara. I'm Rav Yosef, I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm Shmuel. So we have a statement started by Rav Yosef, who says in the name of Rav Yehuda, going back to Shmuel, okay, the Shalshalas HaAmoraim, Mimnei Ma'amru Besula Nisus Yom Revi. Why is it that a Besula gets married on a Wednesday? Lefi, Sheshanina, because we learned the following. Now we're about to quote as a Braisa, Yigiyas Ma'amvalo Nisu. Let's say the time has come and they don't get married. As I explained in the introduction to today's shiur, he has no financial obligation after Kedushin. He and she are married with all the forces, with all the liability of marriage, and that if she had commits adultery, she's going to be put to death. So they are married, but there's simply at this point in time no financial responsibility. That kicks in at the point of Nisuin. And as I pointed out, the Nisuin traditionally took place on the anniversary of when they went through Kedushin. So let's say the Braisa discusses Higi Azman. So the time has come, meaning it's now the 1 year anniversary. V'lo Nisu. And they don't get married. Ochlos Mishlova, Ochlos Bitruma. He's got to start supporting her. Meaning, he's on the hook financially at that point going forward. Even if they didn't actually go through the Nisuin, but once we hit the one-year anniversary, so now he's got to start financially supporting her. Yachli Giyazman Becha B'Shabbos Yehemal Alam Ezonos. Let's say the one-year anniversary comes up on a Sunday. On a Sunday. Okay. So, L'kach Shanina B'Sul Nisa Siyam Erevi'i. So can she now go over to him and say, look, I don't know what's going on. Today's Sunday. It's the 1 year anniversary. It's our anniversary. She says, let's get married. Out of the context of the Gemara, that's a very strange sentence. But in the context of our discussion, it makes perfect sense. It's our anniversary. Let's now go get married. And what can he say to her? We can't. It's Sunday. The Chachamim told us that we have to get married on a Wednesday. And because the Chachamim pushed us off to Wednesday, I am legitimately not on the hook to support you until Wednesday. So once the Chachamim declare Wednesday to be the day of marriage, so now he has a legitimate ptur from having to financially support her. Now the way this information is presented us is in of itself fine, but Rav Yosef is bothered because what did we just do? We took our Mishnah to explain a Braisa. I'm Rav Yosef, Mari Dav Ram Tali Tanya Bedolo Tanya. Rav Yosef says, oh my, Mari da Avraham, the master of Avraham, like it's basically like our expression of, oh my God, right? Da Avraham, Tanya Bedolo Tanya. We're explaining a Braisa based on something which isn't a Braisa. So the Gemara says, well, first of all, even that sentence in of itself is a little bit strange. Hi Tanya, vai lo Tanya, what do you mean? Our Mishnah is a Tanaitic statement, but so is the Braisa we just quoted. Hi Tanya, vai Tanya. Ella, so the Gemara clarifies. Tali Tanya de Mefarish Taima, but the Tanya de la Mefarish Taima. We're using a Braisa to explain our Mishnah. Our Mishnah doesn't need an explanation. Our Mishnah provides the explanation. So basically, what you should be doing is start with our Mishnah, which provides an explanation, and use the Mishnah to explain a halacha of the Braisa. So all Rav Yosef does is just basically go in what he believes is the right way to set these braises side by side. If you're going to say anything, this is how you're going to say it. Okay, here's the starting point. Why does a Besula get married on Wednesday? Shema Yelotan is Besulim. Because if he claims that she was not a Besula, so the Gemara says, I'm sorry, the Braisa now goes on to explain that the reason you're going to get married on Wednesday, so he could go to Beis Din on Thursday. The Braisa then asks the obvious question, which Rashi told us that the Gemara is going to ask. Here the Braisa asks the question, why not get married on Sunday? So that you'll have Beis Din convening on Monday. You'll have the same benefit of Beis Din opening the next day. The Chachamim wanted the families to prepare for the wedding 3 days over Revi'a Konsa, so they can get married on a Wednesday. So in other words, you'll have Sunday, Monday, Tuesday for days of preparation. Wednesday the marriage will occur. And if weddings were to be on Sunday, so the day prior, you can't Shabbos, you can't prepare. That's why the Chachamim did not institute Sunday to be a day of wedding. But just give me a moment. The Achshav Shashani Shaktu, Osu Shashaninu, and now that we learned Shaktu, meaning now that we learned that the Chachamim legislated that marriage should occur on Wednesday, and the Chachamim explained that it cannot be done on Sunday, even though you have Beis Din opening up the next day, because the another legislation of the Chachamim is there should be 3 days of preparation going into a wedding. That's why Sunday is out of the question. So the only day left for marriage is Wednesday. Now that we know all that, now we'll go to the next brisa, and now we'll explain the next brisa. So, the year has come, and they don't get married. He has to financially support her, and she's also entitled to eat truma. He gives man be'echa b'Shabbos, and let's say that anniversary comes up on a Sunday. And now that we know that they cannot get married on Sunday for reasons of rabbinic legislation, fine. He doesn't have to feed her. He doesn't have to support her until Wednesday. Okay. Now, let's go on. I'm sorry, just give me a moment. Let's go on. Because now that we have arrived at this point, what do we essentially learn together? That he has to financially support her at the anniversary. If the anniversary comes up and for reasons that are beyond his control, they cannot get married, so then he doesn't have to financially support her. So this teaches us that in a case of ones, something that is beyond his control provides for him a pass, an exemption from having to start the support. And what the prime example that we're looking at right now is Takanas Chachamim. The rabbis legislated, I'd love to marry you today, but the Chachamim said we have to get married on Wednesday. So therefore, I don't have to support you. No money has to come out of my pocket until Wednesday because of what is now will put under the category of ones. And now what the Gemara is going to discuss, and this will be the remainder of today's discussion, is this the only type of ones where he doesn't have to support her? What if it's another type of ones? So the first way we're going to say today is, lefichach, therefore, chalahu, oshechaltehi. Let's say the wedding day comes. And he calls him sick. Look, I'm really sorry. I know we were looking forward to this. I know, you're right. I know we've been planning this for a year, but sorry, I have a cold. Osha chaltehi, or let's say she's sick, and she also wants to push it off because of illness. Osha pirsanida, or let's say she becomes anida. Eino mala mizonos. These are also falls under the category of ones, and therefore he does not have to support her until they recover from the illness and they get married. Okay, now Eddie, go.
If the enactment was for the benefit of the daughter of Israel to go from Sunday to Wednesday, why didn't they put also that she should be supported for those 3 days?
Right.
It's like a punishment at the same time.
Uh-huh. Very good. So it's a good question. Meaning let the...
But the husband,
why should the husband
those 3 days also?
Right. So support, I guess it's good.
Benefit,
right.
Yeah.
Let the Chachamim. Right. Let the Chachamim insert that into the legislation. Right. But Danny says that, and I was going to basically make the same point as Danny, and that is that his financial obligation is connected to living with her.
What?
Meaning that
you can't live with her.
Yes, as we're going to see later on, there may be an occasion where he's going to have to start paying even if they don't live together. But really, Hava Hatalia, they are connected with one another. And so when he lives with her, so then he supports her. If he does not live with her, then he doesn't support her. And you're right. Meaning, and the reason why he were delaying the marriage is because the Chachamim told us to delay the marriage. You're right. And she can make the argument, look, I'm ready, I'm here, it's our 1 year anniversary, but I guess the Chachamim's legislation is enough, I don't guess, the Gemara says, that's enough of an onus that it's gonna give him a legitimate pass on having to start paying. Okay, but I appreciate your question. The Igida Baile Mebaye. Now, what the Gemara, we had one version of the Gemara, which is any onus. He calls in sick, she calls in sick, she's anida. So just like the Chachamim's moving of the wedding from Sunday to Wednesday is enough of an ones that he doesn't have to start supporting her, so too is his illness or her illness. That's the first version. The Gemara now gives us a second version of the same discussion. The Gemara says, in the second version, it's not so clear. Chalahu mahu. What if he gets sick? Hasam time amay mishum da anis. On one hand, one can make the argument, look, just like the Chachamim moved the wedding from Sunday to Wednesday, and that's ones, it's beyond his control, So too his illness. Nobody wants to get sick. He doesn't want to get sick. He got sick. It's circumstances beyond his control. That's one argument. And therefore he doesn't have to pay her. Or the Gemara says you can make a very simple distinction. When it comes to moving the wedding from Sunday to Wednesday, that's an ones that is well beyond his control, legislated by the Chachamim. But over here, it's he should have taken better care of himself. A little more orange juice. Right? So, right? How sick is he really? Meaning it's not this, you cannot look at a legislated ones versus what he, you know, what he thinks right now is a little bit of a cold, a little bit of a cough. The intim salam chalahu malalam zonos. So the Gemara says, and let's say we're gonna buy into this distinction, right? The intim salama. Intim salama, the way that operates in the Gemara always is that I ask a question, I see two possibilities, and let's side with one of the possibilities. The Rambam, generally speaking, whenever the Gemara sides with a possibility, the Rambam says that generally, Rambam says that's the halacha. The Gemara says right now, let's side with the possibility that his illness is not an ones. Good. Chaltehi mahu. So what if she gets, I'm sorry, chaltehi.
She gets sick.
What if she gets sick? Does that qualify as an ones? So matzi amala anahu kamina. On one hand, he can make the argument, look, I'm here, I'm ready, I'm available. I want to get married today. You're calling in sick? I don't have to pay you. On the other hand, maybe she can counter and argue the following. Look, you know what? Life isn't always fair. The your house caught on fire, your fields got flooded, right? Nistab chasadeo, your fields got flooded, right? So life isn't always fair. So
his field,
huh?
Not totally his field though.
Well, I mean, I don't want to take the analogy too far, but
the
it is their kedushin, kinyan kaspo. Yeah. Again, I don't want to go too far with the analogy, you're right. In other words, it didn't start yet. The financial obligation didn't start yet. I do understand that. But again, the argument of Nistab Chasadeu is, it happens. You're right. It's not fair that I got sick. Okay, good. It's not fair that life isn't fair.
Tough.
So the Imtim Salam Ramalan Nistab Chasadeu. So the Gemara says, and let's say that is in fact a legitimate claim that she can make. Tough luck. The anniversary has come. I know I'm sick. It's unfortunate. But you have to start supporting me. So Pirsa Nida Mahu. So the Gemara then advances this one more step. What if she's an Ida? So Mahu Bishas Vesta Loti Bayalach. The Gemara says that if it was an expected time of her becoming Ida, where the Gemara refers to Shas Vesta, Delo Matzia Amra Le Nistab Chasadeo. She does not have the right to say tough luck. It's not tough luck. She was expecting to have to be an Ida at that point in time. So then she can't say Nistab Chasadeo. Kiti Bailach, but the Gemara's question is, Shalom B'Shaz Vesta. Let's say she was Paris Nida at an unusual time, a time that she wasn't expecting it. Mai. Kaven, Shalom B'Shaz Vesta, Havya Matze Amrla Nistab Chasadeo. Since it came at an unusual time, doesn't she have the right now to say to him, look, wasn't expecting it, happened really at an unusual time, tough luck. Or the Gemara says, look, generally speaking, there is a fluctuation in terms of Paris Nida. It doesn't happen automatically every single time. And because of the variance and because of the variable, so maybe this is much more similar to Shas Vesta, where she cannot make the argument of tough luck. It's not his tough luck, meaning she was Paris Nida. So, in the first version of the Gemara's discussion, the Gemara said Ones always allows for him a pass in terms of financial obligation. In the second version of the Gemara says, I'm not sure. If he gets sick, he doesn't get a pass. If she gets sick, the Gemara argues he also doesn't get a pass. He has to start supporting her. She got sick? Tough luck. If she's Paris Nida, the Gemara is unclear as to whether or not that's considered his tough luck or not his tough luck. The Gemara says, on all this, where do we go? Where do we conclude? So, sorry. So Rav Achai says as follows. And who Rav Achai is, by the way, you could take a look at the second Tosfos over here. It's an interesting discussion whether Rav Achai is a Nemora or maybe he may be of a later generation of the Gaonim. But either way, right now the Rav Achai says, I think I know the answer. Look at the Braisa that we quote on the Amud Aleph of today's daf. Higi Yizman Velo Nisu. The time has come and they don't get married. Now here it's grammar, and it's not just grammar, it's Aramaic grammar. So, the Brice is really written in Hebrew. But, okay, it's a grammar that I just accepted face value. I don't know this kind of grammar so well, but the word nisu is going on her, the woman. Right, that yud, it tells us that lo nisu, the way to translate that to English is she didn't get married. Now, obviously, it's not she didn't get married. It's really they didn't get married. But just in terms of grammar, it's going on her. So he gives mavlo nisu ochlos mishlo ochlos betruma. Lo nasu lo ketani. The Gemara makes a deal. Rav Acha makes a deal. The Braisa doesn't say lo nasu, ela lo nisu. And again, in this grammar, it's referring to the woman. Hechidami. Ide kama akvan ini. Now, if she just simply says, you know what, let's push it off a week. And she gives no reason why. So then, am I ochlos mishlava, ochlos betruma? So then, I can't imagine that she's going to be entitled to be supported if she pushes off the wedding for really what is considered no valid reason. So then, the husband's certainly not going to be on the hook to having to support her. Alalav the isness. It must be she's pushing it off because she's sick. And ki hai gavna v'ketani ochlos mishlava, ochlos betruma. And what does the Braisa say? He's got to start supporting her. In other words, so based on this diuk, it sounds like if she is pushing off the wedding, and we have to assume it's for a legitimate reason, i.e. she got sick, ochlos mishlava, he has to start supporting her. So amar Rav Ashi lo lamem lachal kol unso lo achla. So Rav Ashi says, I could deflect. That's not such a great proof. We could argue that if it's any onus whatsoever, him or her, regardless of what the cause of the onus is, he doesn't have to start supporting her. So, and the truth of the matter is that in the Braisa, who was delaying the marriage? Let's even argue that he was. And grammatically, you're right. It should have said lo nasu and not lo nisu. But I did the tanirasha bidid taninami sefer bidid. But since the Braisa started talking about her, so the Braisa concluded about talking about her. But really, it's talking about him in that he pushed off the wedding. Okay, so on the first topic of the Gemara today, the question of onis. Is that going to buy him? Is that going to give him a pass on the beginning of his support that he has to start supporting her at the point of marriage? So here's what we know for sure: if the ones is because of Takanas Chachamim, meaning the rabbis told us that Sunday, even though it's our anniversary, from the point of kedushin, the rabbis told us that we have to get married not on Sunday but rather on Wednesday. So that clearly is an ones in which gives him a pass and he does not have to start supporting her until Wednesday. That the Gemara says clearly and conclusively. What about other forms of illness, like him getting sick, like her getting sick, like her becoming an Edom? So the Gemara presents two versions. Version number one, an onus is always going to give him a pass. And he won't have to start supporting her until the onus is over and until they get married. According to the second version, not so. Second version, if he gets sick, he doesn't get a pass. If she gets sick, he doesn't get a pass. If she becomes a nida, the second version, unclear about that. Rav Acha tried to make a dig in the Braisa, that if she is the cause of the ones, he doesn't have to support her. If he's the cause, he doesn't have to support her. Rav Ashi rejects the rejects the diuk, and that's how the discussion right now is left off. The Rambam sides with the first version, that illness is considered an ones and does give him a pass from having to support until they are recovered and married. Amar Rava. We are continuing in the Gemara. We're on Beis Amud Beis, halfway down at the two dots. Now, we have spent the majority of today discussing how onis provides a man a pass. He is financially obligated to support at the point of at the beginning of the nisuin, when they get married, and then, if for reasons that are beyond his control, they don't get married, he does not have to financially start to support her until they're able to get married. Good. That's what we spent the three quarters of today's daf learning. Amar Rava, ule'inyan gitan eno kein. Everything we said is true when it comes to marriage and his obligation to support her. It's not true regarding get. meaning as Rashi explains. Take a look at Rashi, or read the Rashi. Inside Rashi is towards the top of the Amud, four lines down. Alafichach kai. Rashi says that this statement of Rava is going back on the Brice of Lafichach. Dashminisha kavatzaron is pachrasim in the mezonos. Where? On the Amud Aleph of today's daf, we learn that if it's an ones, he doesn't have to pay her, he doesn't have to start supporting her. Le'inyan gitin ein tainus ones mo'elas. However, when it comes to a get, a claim of, I'm really sorry, but circumstances beyond my control, that's simply not a legitimate claim. What's an example of that? Rashi goes on to explain. Let's say a man hands his wife a get, and he says the get's going to be valid, but only on the following condition. I don't come back by such and such a date. Okay, so he gives himself a deadline. He's going to come back within a certain time, and if he doesn't come back, so then the get's going to be valid. Okay, simple condition put into a get. And what happens? Flight got canceled. And he was supposed to come back by a certain point in time. But ones, I was there at the airport. I was ready to fly. The flight got canceled. Ones. Hare ze get. The get is going to be a valid get. And the claim of ones simply has no validity when it comes to a get. Only tomorrow morning, we're going to learn together the reason why that should be. Why the distinction. And why a claim of ones is not going to be a valid get. What we're going to be doing for the rest of today is just simply just showing, where do we know that this is so? How did Rava know this to be so? And tomorrow we'll discuss why it should be so. So let's go back to the Gemara. Rava's of the opinion that when it comes to get, a claim of ones is not going to be a legitimate claim. How do you know that? So maybe it comes from a Mishnah. Let's say a man comes and says to his wife, here's your get, and it's going to be valid if I don't come back within 12 months. And what happens? He dies within 12 months. Ain't no get, that's not going to be a valid get. Okay. All right, as we're going to learn in just a moment, a get cannot be post-mortem. Right? A dead person cannot issue a get. Now, it'll be very difficult for the dead person to issue the get. It's his... Okay, I understand. But even if the get was issued before, if the validity of the get was going to be taking place at a later point in time, and if at that later point in time he's no longer alive, it's not going to serve as a good get. It can't be. A dead person cannot issue a get.
There's no marriage. If he dies, the marriage is basically dissolved.
That's absolutely correct.
Can you say that if he dies?
What he can do is that he can make the get retroactive to the day of delivery.
If he dies.
Yes, well, which we're going to get to later on. Okay, so we'll get to that later on. So Mesu Deino Get Hachala Hareis Get. Now, it sounds like from the Mishnah we're going to make a very simple diuk. What is the only thing that's going to make the get invalid? His death. Anything short of death, the get's going to be valid, including ones. Let's say he didn't come back after 12 months. Now, death happens to be a fantastic excuse. I mean, what could possibly be better excuse of, I'm really sorry I didn't come back, but I died. That's great. But what the Gemara now is suggesting is anything short of death is simply not going to be a valid excuse. That's what the Gemara is being medayik in the Mishnah. So ha chala hareiz get the dil malola meimelacha chala nami eno get. The Gemara says no. The diak, let's not use this as a platform for the discussion of ones. Vehi gufa kamashmalan. Maybe the Mishnah is there to teach us one simple halacha, which I saw when I first read it. People struggle with the halacha, which is ain't get lachemisa, that there is no get that could be issued after death. Ain't get lachemisa atan le'resha. So the Gemara says that is a very significant point. You're right, but we already saw that in the resha in the beginning of that very same Mishnah. Harezi gitech imesi, harezi gitech micholizeh. Let's say the person is dying. He hands his wife a get, and he says, "If I die from this illness, this get's going to be a valid get." It's not. Let's say the person is. So, in any one of these statements that were said, it's simply not going to be a valid get. So, you see already from the beginning of that brisa, ain't get lachamisa. So then, when the brisa gives us another example of this is going to be a get and it's going to be valid if I don't come back within 12 months, and then he dies, we already know ain't get lachamisa. So what's that second part of the brisa coming to teach us? It's got to be teaching us something about ones, that anything short of death is simply not going to give him a pass. Death will give him a I know it's a funny sentence. Death will give him a pass, meaning death will invalidate the get, but anything short of that will not invalidate the get. So again, the Gemara is still arguing that we could see from the Mishnah that there is no onus by getting. The Gemara says, again, not so fast. Maybe the whole purpose of the Braisa was to preclude from the position of Rabboseinu. Ditanya. We learned on the Braisa. Rabboseinu itirli nase. The rabbi is allowed to remarry. Meaning, in the event that he writes her a get, and he says, this get will serve as a get after I die, if I die from this illness. Rabboseinu, which we'll identify a little bit better in just a moment, they say, it's good. Gets a valid get. This ambiguous reference of Rabboseinu, who are they? So Rav Yehuda Mashmuel tells us, Beit Din of Desher Mashka happens to be the same Beit Din that allowed the purchasing of oil from a non-Jew. There was a tkufa, there was a time period where the Chachamim banned oil that was manufactured by a non-Jew, and that ban was rescinded. Okay, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. Somewhere in the Lamids, as this lengthy discussion, but right now it's that same Beis Din. I don't know why that information is necessary for our discussion right now, but the Gemara just simply says that's Rabboseinu. So Savor like Rav Yossi, and let's explore why is that get going to be a good get? In get lachemisa, a get cannot be issued after you're dead. And the reason is as follows: when you write a get, you write a date and a get. Right? We're going to learn together, Gittin, Daf Yud Zayin, that there is a requirement, the rabbinic requirement, that every get needs to be dated. Now, even though there's a dating on the get, when does the get take its validity? When he hands it to her. The Rabboseinu make the following argument. The fact that the get is dated is telling us that even if he doesn't say it, and even if it's not written in the document, it must mean that I want the get to be valid from the time it's dated. And so therefore, Rabboseinu argue that even if from the time of the writing of the get, he dies, the get could still be issued. Why? Because it's assumed, because there's a date on the get, that it's retroactive to the time of the date of the get. That's the opinion of the Rabboseinu. Now, Rashi points out, by the way, it's Rabbi Yossi in the Gemara Baba Basra. You can see Rashi inside for that information. But anyway, that's the opinion of Rabboseinu. Now, with that in mind, now, what the Mishnah, therefore, is coming to tell us is, we don't buy that Svara. Meaning, we who disagree with Rabboseinu, we don't buy that Svara. And just because a get has a date on it, and every get has a date on it, that doesn't necessarily mean it's retroactive to the time of the get. You have to state it. You have to say, if you want the get to be retroactive, you have to say, Mei hayom im lo basi achar yud beis chodesh. But if you don't say the words Mei hayom, then we do not automatically assume that's retroactive to the time of the date. Okay.
The date is written.
Yes.
The
Ella Miseifa, the Gemara says, okay. So now, we'll finish off today with the following. So again, how did Rava know? Rava says, "Ain onus begitin," that there's no onus when it comes to getting. That any time you put a condition into a get, and you don't satisfy the condition, the get's still a valid get. And even if your claim is onus, it's not a valid claim. How does he know that? Let me say for the Gemara says, okay, learns it from the following. If he writes in the get, which means, I want the get to be valid from this point going forward. If I don't come back within 12 months, and he dies within those 12 months, such a get is a good get. And why is it a good get? Because he says, me'ata. In other words, he writes in the get, it's retroactive from this point. So, me'zbu'a din l'chala. So the Gemara says, death, illness, anything. Meaning anything that prevented him from coming back in 12 months, still the get's going to be a valid get. The Gemara says, no, Duma Meistafka Delonichale de Tipu Kamayavam. Gemara says, no, I can make a distinction. Maybe death would count, would still validate the get. Why? Because we just spent 122 blot learning that Yibum is sometimes awkward and uncomfortable. Here you are now being arranged with a man that you had no plans to marry. And so, very often, as we're going to see in our Masechta, so a husband is going to realize that his brother's a little bit off. and in order to save his wife from having the awkward and uncomfortable yibum, so he's going to hand her a get. So maybe death is acceptable in terms of validating the get. And again, we're describing where it says me'ata, retroactive to this point. So it's not get la'achar misa. But maybe death will push the get through because he wanted it. He wanted to save his wife from that awkward encounter with his brother. But if it's chole, but if he's ill, and he really wanted to come back, and he didn't want to get validated, so maybe we can make a distinction between death and illness. At this point in time, we're going to pause. We are left with a question. Well, before we ask the question, we re-ask the question, let's quickly summarize. Okay, we started the new Masechta today. We learned that the rabbis legislated that a besul is going to get married on Wednesday. So that the Thursday morning they can go to Beis Din, if he needs to go to Beis Din, and while he's good and heated, and make a claim of tainus besulim. We discussed earlier today why it's so important to clarify whether or not she was a besula, and when did she lose her status of besula. In the Gemara we spent most of today discussing that when a man, after a year, is destined to go to the second stage of marriage in Nisuin, so for purposes of rabbinic legislation, for sure he doesn't have to start supporting her if the wedding is pushed off. What about for other onis, other types of onis? So that we spent most of our daf discussing, and the conclusion of the Gemara, although the Gemara itself doesn't conclude, but the conclusion is that onis does give him a pass from having to pay. And then the last quarter of today's daf discussed, is this onis true by get? And Rava says unequivocally no. You cannot make any tainus onis when it comes to get, for reasons which we're going to explain tomorrow, why that should be. Where did he get that from? Meaning what Mishnah tells him that there is no tainus onis, there's no claim of onis by get? So at this point in time, we haven't found a Mishnah that conclusively has made his point. Tomorrow we're going to settle that as well.